I'll ask you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 22 and 23 will be our text tonight. My subject is the ear, the thumb, and the toe. The ear, the thumb, and the toe. And we're reading verses 22 and 23 of the 8th chapter of Leviticus. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now the ram of consecration here, by which Aaron and his sons were consecrated and set apart for God's service, Moses selected that ram. It was not Aaron, it was not his sons, it was not the people of Israel, it was Moses. Moses representing God, who chose the ram. Aaron acknowledged the ram which Moses had chosen. Aaron acknowledged God's sacrifice. Aaron, representing the people, put his hands on the head of the ram and confessed his and the people's sin. Moses chose, Aaron accepted. Moses presented the ram, and Aaron, in Israel's name, acknowledged the ram. Moses slew the ram, and Aaron, in Israel's name, put his hand on the ram and confessed sin and received forgiveness. Now, you get what I'm saying? Moses chooses, Aaron accepts. Moses presents the ram, and Aaron, in Israel's name, acknowledges the ram. Now, in one sense, God lays our sins upon Christ. In one sense, God lays our sins upon the chosen sacrifice. But in another sense, and you're going to be helped tonight when we talk about being justified by faith. Christ said to some people in his day, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Well, we know it was Christ who made them whole. Christ said to others, "Thy faith hath saved thee." We know it was Christ who saved them, but in some sense, faith also saved them, for without faith they could not be saved. Without faith a man cannot be forgiven. Without faith a man cannot be justified. The Bible says we're justified by God. It is God who justifies. The Bible also says we're justified by faith. Thy faith hath justified thee. So in one sense, God lays our sins upon the chosen sacrifice, who is Christ our Lord. But in another sense, and underscore this in your thoughts, it is we who lay our sins on Christ Jesus. The Bible clearly says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We have no problem there. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have no problem there. Our sins, by God's grace, through God's mercy, for our forgiveness and his glory, were laid on Christ. But also the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible also says, "He that hideth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth his sins shall find mercy." So the purpose of my message tonight is to stress the importance to every one of us, the importance of the sinner personally receiving Christ, the importance of the sinner personally confessing Christ as his Savior, as his Lord, and as his sacrifice. Moses chose the ram, and Moses presented the ram, and Moses slew the lamb, but also Aaron, the one to be consecrated, the one to be set apart, the one to be made holy, put his hands on the head of that ram, and he confessed his sins. He received God's sacrifice. He brought his sins to Christ. He acknowledged those sins, and he left them on the head of the appointed substitute to be borne away and to be remembered no more. So let's look at about three or four things from this text this evening. First of all, the selection of the victim, the selection of the sacrifice. Now, Aaron is the one to be consecrated. Aaron is the one to be forgiven. He's the one to be set apart, but he doesn't select the sacrifice. The sinner is not left by God to pick out the way that he will be saved. Many people seem to think that. Someone said, well, it doesn't really matter what a man believes, just so he's sincere. That leaves the sinner to pick his own sacrifice, to pick his own way to heaven, to pick his own substitute, to pick his own way of salvation. Aaron was the one to be consecrated, but Aaron was not the one who picked the ram. Moses, choosing for God, picked the ram. And the sinner does not tell God how he will be forgiven or how he will be saved or how he will be justified. He is forgiven, saved, and justified God's way. Turn to Romans chapter 10. That's what was wrong with Israel. That's what Paul said in Romans 10 concerning the nation Israel. He said, brethren, Romans 10, 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I don't want them just to be religious. I want them to be saved. I don't want them just to have a zeal for God. I want them to be saved. For I acknowledge, I bear them record. I know this is true. They have a zeal of God. They are a religious people, but it's an ignorant religion. It's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's way of righteousness, they being ignorant of God's way of salvation, they being ignorant of the one who himself is God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. This would be the same as if Aaron had went out and picked out his own ram and brought it. Moses said, but Aaron, here's the ram. Well, I don't like that when I've chosen one of my own, but it won't do. This is the one of God's choosing. And Israel picked out their own way of righteousness. They went about to establish that and did not, would not submit to God's way of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. So Moses, representing God, selected the ram, chose the ram, and brought it to Aaron. And so our great sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, was chosen to be our Redeemer by the Father. Turn with me to Isaiah 42. Listen to this scripture. Isaiah 42, verse 1. God says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. That's talking about Christ. In whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, but he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged until he have set judgment in the earth, and the owl shall wait for his law. Turn to Isaiah 61. And this is the scripture which our Lord chose to read at Nazareth when he preached his first sermon upon his return visit to his home where he was brought up. He turned to Isaiah 61 and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because I am his chosen sacrifice. I am God's selected ram. The Lord hath anointed me to do all that the Messiah will do, to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's Lamb. He's God's Lamb. And Moses went out and chose a ram, and brought it over here to Aaron and said, this is the sacrifice. This is the anointed, appointed, designated sacrifice. And even so the Father said, behold, mine elect. Behold, my servant. He shall not fail. Turn to John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 33. Listen to this. John 5, verse 33. Now he said, if I bear witness of myself, that's verse 31, if I'm the only one who acknowledges that I am the Messiah, if I'm the only proof, my word is the only proof that I am the Savior, then you don't have to listen to me. But there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is truth. And that's John the Baptist. He bare witness unto the truth. He was the forerunner of Christ. I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. I don't need a man to prove that I'm the Messiah, he said. But I'm telling you that he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. And he came and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Upon whom, the Father said to John, you see the Spirit descending, that's the Lamb of God. That's the chosen ram. That's the selected sacrifice. But I have greater witness than that of John. Verse 36, the works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. John the Baptist sent the servants over there and said, ask him, is he the Messiah? And he said, you go back and tell John that the blind receive their sight, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and the dead are raised. And only the Messiah can do these things. In verse 37, Christ said, the Father himself, which hath sent me, he hath borne witness of me. You've neither heard his voice nor seen his shape, and you don't have his word abiding in you. For him for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. But I have another witness. Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. The selection of the victim. Moses chose a ram, brought it to Aaron. This is typical of God choosing his Son, Jesus Christ, and bringing him to us as our Redeemer, as the appointed sacrifice. And all of these witnesses we have, John the Baptist came and said, he is the Lamb. The works that he did bore witness that he is the Ram, the one God chose. The Father himself spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. The Scriptures to him give all the prophets witness. So we have the chosen sacrifice, the Lord Jesus. Now the second thing. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 8. In the 8th chapter of Leviticus, we have the transfer of the sinner's sins to the sacrifice. Now this is very important here, and I want you to think with me a little bit. It says that Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. Moses chose a ram, and he brought it to Aaron. Now Aaron was full of sin, and so were his sons, and so were the people. And Aaron came. Moses, choosing for God, chose a ram and brought him. And Aaron put his hands on the head of that ram and confessed his sins. The transfer of the sinner's sins to the designated sacrifice. And then that sacrifice was slain. Now, God Almighty chose Christ to be our Savior. And there is a sense in which, now listen to me, the transfer of our sins to Christ, all our sins, in one sense of the word, is done by God through that same eternal purpose by which the sacrifice was selected. Way back yonder before the world began, when Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, when he was, as the Word of God says, the surety of the everlasting covenant. When he was, as the Bible said, his blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. There is a sense, turn to Isaiah 46. There is a sense in which our sins, all of them, all the sins of every believer of all ages, of all generations, of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven, there is a sense in which all our sins were transferred to Christ when He was made our Redeemer in the counsel and purpose and program of God Almighty. For the Bible says in Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old. I am God. There's none else. I'm God and there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Turn to Romans 8. God says, I declare the end from the beginning. I declare it is done. From the time that it is designed, it is done. From the time that it is purposed, it is perfected. From the time that it is thought, it is thorough and complete. And from the time back in eternity that God set His love upon us and chose us and put us in Christ, at that very time we were even glorified. Now you read Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And those words are all in the past tense. They are done. So the transfer of our sins to Christ, looking at it from the standpoint of God's doing, where all of our sins were transferred to Christ by that same eternal purpose that Christ became our substitute. Christ has always stood for us. But secondly, the transfer of our sins to Christ in another sense was complete when He died on the cross. For the Bible says He bore our sins in His body on the tree. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, turn there, there's the gospel in one verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin. Actually, Christ became sin. He was numbered with the transgressors. Actually, our sins were laid on Him. It was no makeup. It was no farce. It was an actual transfer of guilt to the substitute. Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree. The wrath of God was against Him because He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Hebrews chapter 9. Turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 9. It says here in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, verse 11 and 12, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for the people who lived before He died. No. For the people who lived up to the time He died. No. He obtained eternal redemption for us, every believer. So back yonder, many, 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 many years before this world was ever made, Christ Jesus was the Lamb, the surety of the everlasting covenant. He was the sacrifice for sin before Adam was ever created. And all our sins were transferred to Him then. He was our surety. He stood for us in the purpose and program and providence of God back in eternity. When He came down near to this earth, actually, as a man in the flesh, our sins were laid on Him, and He paid for them, and He went to the right hand of God, where He obtained eternal redemption for us. It was done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and He is mine. And if my great-great-great-grandson, who will be born into this world probably 50, 60, 70 years from now, if he becomes a Christian, his sins are already laid on Christ. Already. He's not even born yet. But that's what the Bible says. Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And He didn't put away phantom sins. He put away real sins. He bore real sins. He didn't bear fictitious sin. He bore real sins, our sins. That's so whether you believe it or not. And then the third sense. Now listen to me, this is so too. And no use getting confused because you don't understand God. If you understood God, He wouldn't be God. The finite cannot understand the infinite. The finite cannot understand or comprehend the infinite. We cannot put God in our brains any more than a little boy can put an ocean in his pail. But the transfer of our sins to Christ is still in another sense. It becomes a fact. It becomes a fact in time when I consciously, intelligently, realistically, receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I, by faith, actually lay my hands on Christ, when I, by faith, actually come to Christ in repentance and faith, when I leave my sins with Him to bear away, that's when I transfer my sins to Christ. And up until that moment, I'm asking you to believe it, not so much to understand it. It's so. Up until that moment, my sins are still on me. There's a sense in which my sins were laid on Christ in the purpose and mind of God who declares the end from the beginning. There's a sense in which my sins were laid on Christ when He died on the cross, realistically and actually and literally, He bore our sin. But there's a sense in which if there's somebody out here tonight who's not saved, but who will be saved, your sins are still on your head. Until you by faith, until you in genuine repentance, until you in genuine confession of sins, come like Aaron and lay your hands on the sacrifice and say, Lord Jesus, bear my sins away. Bear my sins away. It is upon our receiving Christ that we are made holy, not before. It is upon our receiving Christ that we're forgiven, not before. It is upon our receiving Christ that we're cleansed, not before. We're justified by faith. That explains these scriptures. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Listen to this. The people at Pentecost said, when they were pricked in their hearts and they heard Peter preach, they said, what are we going to do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Come and lay thy hand upon the head of the scapegoat. Come and lay thy hand upon the head of God's Lamb. Come and lay thy hand by faith, by personal confession, upon the head of Christ the Lord. And go away clean. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath saved thee. Turn to Acts 22, verse 16. Acts 22, verse 16. Listen to what the Scripture says. Arise, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Now, brethren, anybody with half sense knows that water can't put away sin. Anybody with half sense knows that a person can't be washed from his sins in a creek of water. That water may wash his body, but it can't wash his heart. It takes the blood of Christ to do that. And Christ is God's selected lamb, and Christ is God's designated lamb, and even as this ram was selected by Moses, but Aaron came, and Moses chose, and Aaron accepted. Moses chose, and Aaron acknowledged. Moses chose and brought the lamb, and Aaron put his hand on the head of the lamb and confessed his sins. And they went out there and turned that ram loose, and it wandered in the wilderness. He said, what if Aaron hadn't put his hands on the head of that lamb? Aaron had died in his sins. What if Aaron had never confessed his sins? Aaron had died in his sins. And if you don't come to Christ, you'll die in your sins. If you don't come to God's lamb, God's selected ram, and God's selected substitute, and consciously and intelligently acknowledge God's choice and say, Lord Jesus, take away my sins. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 8 says, if we say we don't have any sins, the truth's not in us. That's worse than being a liar. He says the truth's not even in you. But if we confess our sins, if He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, In the purpose of God, I'm holy and without blame. In the blood of Christ, I'm holy and without blame. Through the mediatorial work of Christ, I'm holy and without blame. But brethren, I tell you this. If a person wants to really be holy and without blame, he's got to come and acknowledge Christ. He's got to confess Him. He's got to trust Him. Now then, turn back to Leviticus 8. So Moses chose the ram, even as God chose Christ, and sent Him down to be the substitute. Aaron said, I accept it. Aaron said, I acknowledge it. Aaron said, I believe it. Aaron laid his hands on the head of the ram, and Moses took it out and slew it. Now, my friends, on whomsoever the guilt is found, on him must the penalty lie. That's the whole story. If you die in your sins, Christ said, you can't come where I am because the penalty's on you. You're still in your sins. On whom the guilt is found, on him the penalty lies. That's all there is to it. Aaron took his hands and put on the head of that ram and confessed his sins, and the transfer of his sins from him to the ram took place. And then they slew the ram. For on whomsoever the guilt is found, on him must the penalty lie. And from him, the one on whom the guilt is found, from him must that penalty be exacted to the uttermost. The soul that sinneth, it must die. So my sins were laid on Christ. My sins were transferred from me to Christ, my substitute. And incarnation's not enough. The Word was made flesh, but that's the beginning and not the end. Power is not enough. Our Lord said, I have all power. But love and mercy armed with power is faced with righteousness, and righteousness is stronger than power. And as God cannot lie, omnipotence cannot conquer the law. Jesus Christ is love armed with power. But even love armed with power cannot overcome righteousness. God is holy. God is holy. And suffering's not enough either. From the cradle to the cross, he was a man of sorrows. From the cradle to the cross, he was acquainted with grief. And yet his tears and his groans could not put away sin. Holiness is not enough. He that would save us must be a substitute. He that would save us must be not only an example, but a substitute. And he must undergo the law's last sentence, death. He must die. He must die. So Moses brought the ram. Aaron confessed his sins. And on whom the guilt is laid, the penalty must lie. He's got to die.
So Christ bore our sins and took them away and paid for them on the cross. And then the last thing, look. And Moses took the blood of the slain ram, and he put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear. And he put it on the thumb of Aaron's right hand. And he put it on the great toe of Aaron's right foot. Now the body of Aaron was not plunged into the blood, for the quantity of the blood is of no consequence. The quantity of the blood is of no consequence. It's not how long Christ suffered. It's not how much blood he shed. It's who suffered and whose blood was shed. The blood was merely applied to three places of Aaron's body. And by this application, and by this act of consecration, the whole man was consecrated to God. First of all, Moses took the blood and he put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron. And that denotes that Aaron's hearing was tuned to God. That's the first thing that happens when God saves a man. That's the first thing that happens when God calls one of his sheep. He hears his voice. He hears his voice. Turn to John chapter 10. This is mighty important right here, John chapter 10. Our Lord Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, verse 23, he walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews came round about him, and they said, "How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, but you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice." My sheep hear my voice. My friends, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the substitute, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, those who are God's sheep will hear God's voice. They will hear the gospel, and they will believe it, and they will receive it. Their ears have been consecrated by God. Their ears have been touched with the blood. Their ears are tuned to hear the voice of God, and another voice they will not follow. Another shepherd they will not follow. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 47. Listen to this. John 8, 47. He that is of God heareth God's word. I'm satisfied about that. I'm convinced of it with all my heart. He that is of God, John 8:47, will hear God's word. He won't buck it. He won't fight it. He won't resist it. He'll hear it. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God, Christ said. You said, "Preacher, I take the word of God and I try to read it to my friends, and they just won't receive it." Your friends don't know God. If your friends knew God, they'd hear God's word. No sheep of Christ is going to turn his ear away from God's word. The blood has been applied to the ear. "And my sheep hear my voice," Christ said. Turn with me to John 12. John 12, 48, "He that is of God will hear God's word." You don't hear his word because you're not of God. Look at John 12, 48. Listen to this. "He that rejecteth me," John 12, 48, "he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The very words that you will not hear are going to judge you. The very word of God that you will not receive and to which you will not submit is going to be your judge in the day of judgment. And then the blood was applied to the thumb. Now I want you to listen to me. I want to be as tender here as I can possibly be. When Aaron was consecrated, when Aaron was set apart, when Aaron was made God's own, when he confessed his sin over the ram and his ram was slain, the blood was then applied to his ear, And God said, Aaron, listen to me now. Aaron's ear will be tuned to my voice, and Aaron will hear me when I speak. And Aaron will not rebel against my word. He will not reject my word. He will not reject my will. His ear will be tuned to God and nobody else. And then I want you to put the blood on his right thumb. And that indicates that his skill and his talent and his resources are dedicated to God. That's what the right hand indicates, the cunning of the right hand, the skill by which a man makes his living, by which a man supports his family, by which a man exercises his skill, by which a man goes about his vocation. Touch that with the blood. Now, I always tremble when I get on this subject, for I'm going to confess to you that I have a great advantage living in and about the temple. My vocation is the Bible, is the gospel. My vocation is prayer. My vocation is study. Everything that I have and am belongs to God because I'm right here in the very circle of God's hand, from the pulpit to the study and back to the pulpit. And I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd be if I were in your place. If I earned my living out in a steel mill, if I had to fight for every nickel and dime and be concerned about being fired or laid off or somebody taking my job or recessions and depressions and all these things, I don't know. I don't know. But I can say what is true, whether I would do it or not. I know you have the most difficult situation, but I know this is true. Whether we work in the temple or on the outside, whatever we are, and whatever we have, and whatever we can do, it belongs to God. Now, that's so of me, but I'm here in the house of God all the time. You're out there in the mill. You're out there on the job. You're out there in the stores and the factories, and things are a lot tougher. I know that. But still, if the old thumb's been touched with the blood, whatever you have belongs to God. Your family, your home, your car, your bank account, your living, your children, everything that your skill has brought to you belongs to God. One old man, somebody asked him one time, said, what's your occupation? He said, my occupation's to be like Christ. That's my ambition and that's my occupation, but I make my living doing carpenter work. My occupation is to be like Christ, but I make my living doing carpenter work. And that's supposed to be true of every Christian. If God's touched the ear with the blood, you'll hear his voice. And I'm not worried about that. I don't plan to preach anything from this pulpit but the truth, if I know it, the truth, if God reveals it to me. Because I know his sheep will hear his voice. There may be 10 of them, there may be 10,000 of them. They're going to hear his voice, and the rest of the people are not going to hear it. And we're not going to try to please the rest of the people. If I please the rest of the people, I'm not God's servant. God sent me to deliver a message to his people, and they're the only ones I got anything for. And they're going to hear it, and they're going to recognize it, they're going to receive it. And we don't have to get up here and beg for money, sign pledge cards, and send out duns, because God's people have had their thumb touched with the blood. And everything they got belongs to him anyhow. It's his. Their job's his, and their home's his, and their family's his, and everything they got belongs to him. And God doesn't have to squeeze it out of them. They'll give it. All God's got to do is show them where that he wants them to give it. And then the great toe of the right foot. Moses took the blood and he touched the toe of the right foot. And that signifies that my walk is to be in paths of righteousness. Now, where I go, it does make a difference. It makes a difference. Where I'm seen, there's the 13th Street Baptist Church. Where I go, there's the 13th Street Baptist Church. Where I go, there's the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm his son. I'm his son. I'm his child. And it makes a difference where these feet go. It makes a difference who they go with. That's right. It makes a whole lot of difference, because I'm his child. I belong to the Lord. He's touched my toe with His blood. How I conduct myself ought to be determined by my relationship with my Lord. My desire ought to be to point others to Christ. That's the reason the blood put on the toe, because I walk with the Lord. My feet have been consecrated to paths of righteousness and holiness. That's where it's supposed to be. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And blessed is the man. Blessed is that man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His companions are not wicked men. He doesn't walk in their counsel. He doesn't walk in their planning. He doesn't walk in their committee meetings. He doesn't walk in their fellowship. He does not stand in the way of sinners. That is, in the way that sinners stand. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the mocking and the scornful and those who put a question mark on God's word. He does not number them as His companions. He does not. He does not walk in the way of the ungodly. He does not stand in the path where sinners stand. And He does not sit around with those who are scornful and mocking of the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in those who love God's Word. His delight is in those who talk about God's Word. His delight is in the path where God's Word is spoken. And His tree shall be His... He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth His fruit in His season. Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, and Lord, help me bear the strain of toil and the fret of care. Teach me Thy patience still with Thee in closer, sweeter company. In love that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only Christ can give. With Thee, O Master, let me live. O Master, let me walk with Thee. The blood. I hear God's word. And I receive it. And I'm not going to listen to a strange voice. I'm not going to be driven about with every wind of doctrine. God's touched the thumb with the right hand. My cunning, my skill, my ambition, my vocation is touched by the blood. It's affected by the blood. And my toe has been touched with the blood. And my walk has been consecrated to Him who bought me. I'm not my own, I'm His. I need to learn that. No, it's not what I want to do, it's what He wants me to do. It's not where I want to go, it's where He wants me to go. It's not with whom I want to go, it's with whom He wants me to go. For His glory, for His good, for the testimony of His grace, and for witness of His power to belong to Him. Master, let me walk with Thee. Our Father, bless the word now to our hearts. We thank Thee for the Scripture. Thank Thee for the presence of Thy Holy Spirit. Make the message to be real and vital and personal. May every one of us individually, willingly, acknowledge the sacrifice, Christ Jesus. And by the blood, though we're dead with Christ, live consecrated to Him. In His name we pray. Amen.